Ladies, we're back in Philippians. What a special morning we're having. As God speaks to our hearts, let us listen. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the journey. Lord, that instantly we think we want to be there, and yet you bring us step by step. We thank you for faith, which is a leap, and ask that you continually press it in on our hearts. Lord, we think of the verses we're going to review this morning and the mightiness of what you have done for us. Lord, encourage us and strengthen us as we continue together, Lord, to exalt you and bring you glory. And we ask all this in your strong and mighty name. Amen. So, here we are in chapter 2. But where have we been so far in Philippians? One of the things that's impressive about Paul's writing is his sense of being anchored in what God has done so miraculously in his life. And honestly, think about how mighty his testimony is with regard to the fact that when we looked in Galatians last term, he was set aside and the revelations from heaven were brought to his mind. And yet God told him that he was still weak, okay? And so there's a place, I believe, hang on, it's in 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to go there a minute. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is the heading in my Bible says, Paul's vision and his thorn, okay? And we get over to verse 7, and he says, the preceding is he's talking about what he boasts about in his life. And this was a man of intellect and prestige among the Jews, and yet persecuted the church and was willing to have people killed for believing in Christ. Okay, and so he says in verse 6, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But if I refrain, no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. And in verse 7, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Okay, so antithetical to how we think about who should be boastful and proud and who should be humble and quiet are the weak. We think the weak should have little or no recognition, and yet Paul is saying he's exalting in his weakness, okay? And this ability to do this only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. as we've been focusing on in these verses. So let's turn to that right now. We're going to look, as we had come from chapter 1, we're looking at righteousness through Christ in the first section. He's in chains for Christ in the middle of chapter 1, and in the end of chapter 1, he's saying to live as Christ. The first part of chapter 2 we looked at last week, he's saying we're united in Christ. So this whole thing is we're doing in, in the power of Christ. We're not doing it in our own strength. And the enemy will rob us of the joy of exalting in weakness, because it's not what we want in our nature. We want to be strong and together, and don't we look at other people and think, you know, well, they're so together. We know you don't see them at home. You know, we have an outside face and we have an inside face. At least I do. I'm sure I'm not alone. And so what you need to do is then turn that outside face like Jesus. That's what the call is this morning in these verses. So let's look at this. Okay, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You know, all the different versions of the Bible say this a little differently, but say the same thing. And honestly, for clarity, it's sweet to read the other versions of the Bible. If you're locked into one, that's okay. But it's sweet because it does, and I'm somebody who likes vocabulary, so I like that they use those different words, even have come to like grammar. So anyway, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. In my old NIV, because I'm reading from the NIV, it said attitude. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, this says acknowledge, but the old one says confess, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So our confession and belief and attitude, living like Jesus, is going to exalt and give glory to God. Now, the interesting thing about life's journey is that we think that we should do well in all things and follow God very closely, and that is true. But the real, the reality of it is we live in a fallen world and we are fallen ourselves. And so we keep having to come back to be reminded, just like Paul had to be reminded because he had great gifts from God. But he also was a model for how to live in affliction, okay? And so in our humanness, we think we want to desert any affliction. But the scripture teaches us that we need to have that mind of Christ. I think I referred to it the last time I was teaching. That mind of Christ is in 2 Corinthians as well. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verses 3 to 5. He talks about that. Okay, and this is a power that we see experienced in our own lives very little, because we don't look at ourselves the way God does. And yet there is so much there. There's such a depth of being tied in the Spirit of Christ. Okay, and so here it is. He's in the early verses of chapter 10, he's talking about how that he's kind of meek when they meet him face to face, but he's bold in his letters, okay? And honestly, think about it. He's dealing with people who all of this is a revelation. How to live in Christ, how to live in a pagan culture. And honestly, our biggest issues aren't with the pagan culture, they end up being with people in the church. Okay, over and over, his epistles are speaking to divisions and don't follow this one and don't follow that one and I'm from this one and I'm from that one. And we're exalting men instead of exalting God. And honestly, this is the experience in the early church, that there's clashing. Because I got this revelation that you should do it this way. And really, you don't realize how what you're doing is putting it in your attitude and your mindset, not in God's alone. So when you take on the attitude of Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ, the spiritual mind, is a sweet journey of opening ourselves to trust God to transform us. So as we look in the earlier chapters of 2 Corinthians, because he's also showing us what it means to be reconciled, okay? And you would think, I mean, honestly, the men that God has used through history are men of great frailty and who have committed heinous sins, murderers. And he transforms them completely. So if he can transform a physical murderer, can he transform somebody in the 21st century who has a murderous tongue? Because in New Testament scripture, that your tongue is equated with the ability to murder, okay? And who hasn't murdered with their tongue? You'd be lying if you said you hadn't, okay? And so God in his kindness is showing us that we need to be like Christ. Each different scripture, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. The King James says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In the ESV, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. And then he says, in the NASB, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in the old NAV, it says your attitude should be the same as that as Christ Jesus. Well, how do we acquire that? Is it a work of our will? No. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so as we come, we have to be willing to follow Christ's example. So the mind of Christ comes from 1 Corinthians. But here we are. I didn't finish in 2nd. So hang on. I'm jumping back. So it says in 1 Corinthians 10, you know, when he was talking about his, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, he's talking about boasting, but he talks about that it's a battle, all right? And we don't live by the standards of this world, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Well, strongholds, ladies, are in our minds, okay? So he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, because that's what the enemy does. He tries to capture our mind. Okay, that's where it starts. Okay, and so here it says, that sets it up against, we demolish arguments and pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do you do that? Capture every thought. Okay, that's an exercise in mental gymnastics. You have to train yourself to recognize every thought. I mean, we are bombarded by our thoughts all day, every day. And so we need to train our minds to recognize when we are being captured. And we can't set up, and immediately what we would try to do is set up a standard, like this is the list of things I can't let in my mind, and then we fail, okay? But the Spirit of God is helping us embrace the mind of Christ. We're still trying to capture those thoughts that are coming into our human nature. And so we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. He says, you are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider that we belong to Christ just as much as he. Okay, and so now he's going back to the disagreement they have. But earlier in Corinthians, the first letter he wrote, he is talking about the mind of Christ in chapter 2. So let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the reason I'm doing so much scripture is there's the truth. There is real power in hearing the word of God spoken over us and reading it and embracing it and using it to capture our thoughts. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's Christ, the wisdom and power of God is chapter 1. Okay, and so we get in chapter 2, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So this is how Paul is modeling this to the church, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And then he goes through this whole section of wisdom. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So as we want to embrace the mind of Christ, we need to look at Scripture. Okay, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. I mean, honestly, without the Spirit of God, we can't even comprehend a minutia of the depth of what God has done. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, or the woman, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. They cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a blessing. Okay, we're not left to thinking of our own standard. We're left with the mind of Christ. Okay, and then he goes on, the next section in Corinthians is about divisions. So is in this picture from Philippians, he's calling us to have the mind of Christ, and he goes through Christ's example. And when he says he was willing to surrender to death, even becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Well, you know, death on the cross is a humiliation. It's painful. It is drawn out. It's not quick. Okay, and so he is taking on this humility and subjecting himself to death on a cross. And the opposite, a lot of things when you look in scripture are sweet opposites, okay? So he humbles himself and became obedient to death, and therefore he's exalted, okay? So humility and then death, and then he's exalted to the highest place and given and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so here we are. He's humbled, but how we interact with him is not through a list of fixes, okay, it's the name. How about the power of the name of Jesus? And we take it for granted. The power of the name of Jesus brings all of this to bear in our lives. We can't explain it. We don't understand it. We lose sight of it over and over. But the name of Jesus has the power to meet every situation in our lives. So where you don't understand it, ask God to open your mind. And honestly, it's not going to happen quickly. Okay, so as we journey to embrace the completeness of the mind of Christ, we're also every day calling on that name of Jesus to journey with us through the Spirit, not left alone, not needing to ask for salvation every day, but understanding that salvation is a process. Once we receive what Jesus has done for us through the Spirit, we're transformed. And the reason there's divisions in the church is because we're all progressing at a different stage. we've received revelation and deliverance in one area, and we think everybody should get it the same way, at the same speed, in the same manner. And it's life with people is messy. It's frustrating. Don't you want to bail? Lots of times. And yet you must continue. And so as God shows us the way, it's a sweet thing that we don't do it by ourselves. We do it by the name. A sweet leaning into the power of Christ in our lives and the Spirit to change us, to change how we think, how we live, how we speak. And it's a wonderful transformation. So ladies, as you look around the room or as you look around your home and you see those you're on the journey with, thank God that he placed them there, because honestly, they're put there, number one, for our fellowship, and number two, to reveal how no one has it together. And honestly, when I had referred, I think last time too, about the plank in our eye and the speck in others, we see the speck, we don't see our plank, okay? And so ask God to show us where we have those planks, and he will. And it's a sweet process to trust in Jesus. Just like he told Paul, his grace is sufficient for us. How sweet is that? God's unmerited favor poured out on us, sufficient for all we need. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are this morning that we're not finished, but it is finished. And Lord, just the paradox of life, and as we journey and see what you do in and through us, Lord, we have expectations of it being one way, and yet often it is not the way we expected. And Lord, we are just so thankful that we are not alone on that journey. We thank you for the Spirit of Christ within us who quickens our hearts and who teaches us to acknowledge your power, and our weakness is evidenced through your strength. And Lord, we just thank you for your might exerted on our behalf, and for the name that you have given us to call on to meet every step of the way. May we continue to exalt you, Lord, as we journey together in and out of affliction as your Spirit enables. Lord, may we see you through all of it, and may you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.